Welcome to the Log Newscast, providing context for today's boating and fishing news. I'm Jordan Darling.
And I'm Catherine Clements. The Log Newscast is a bi-monthly podcast that will provide in-depth context, highlighting experts and witnesses from the Log's news stories. Hey listeners, you've got Catherine today. The third edition of the Log Newscast podcast will be addressing a new study conducted by PLOS Climate, published on February 1st. This study found that more than half of the planet's ocean surface has regularly surpassed historical extreme heat thresholds as of 2014. The study concluded that such excessive ocean temperatures fueled by climate change have become the new normal. These heat extremes threaten crucial marine ecosystems, including coral reefs, seagrass meadows, and kelp forests, altering their structure and function while jeopardizing their ability to provide sustenance to human communities. I spoke with three different experts as they explained what the study means, how are we as humans contributing to rising sea levels and ocean temperatures, and what is the solution. First, I spoke with Dr. Gregory Johnson from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He addressed questions such as how do scientists measure ocean temperatures and estimate how climate change is affecting it? And what can we expect in the way of major climate-changing impacts on our oceans in the coming decades?
So the ocean temperatures are rising primarily because of man-made greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide that we've been putting in into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So that acts like a blanket in the Earth's atmosphere and traps heat from escaping. So basically CO2 is now at about 418 parts per million. In pre-industrial times, it was about 280. So it's about 1.5 times the pre-industrial levels, and the oceans are warming in response to that.
Are you able to explain how scientists measure ocean temperatures and estimate how climate change is affecting it?
So scientists measure ocean temperatures from ships. You can stop and lower an instrument called a CTD that measures conductivity, temperature, and depth, and measure the full depth of the ocean. You can take a temperature value from a ship at the surface. Now you don't have to, there are instruments that you don't have to stop. You can just throw overboard and they'll collect data on the fly. Called expendable bathy thermographs, which is something that measures temperature as a function of pressure. But the big advancement is that since about the year 2000, there's an international program to put out robotic profiling floats. And these instruments drift around with ocean currents at about 1 kilometer deep. And every 10 days, they sink down to 2 kilometers depth. And then on the way up, they measure temperature and salinity as a function of depth. And when they get to the surface, they phone home and send those data back. And so there are about 4,000 of those. It's called the ARGO program out there. And they are reporting back about 150,000 profiles a year of temperature as a function of depth. And that's been able to allow us really pin down how fast the oceans are warming over the last couple decades.
Dr. Johnson discussed the ARGO program, and I just want to expand on that a little bit. ARGO is an international program that collects information from inside the ocean using a fleet of robotic instruments that drift with the ocean currents and move up and down between the surface and a mid-water level. Each instrument is called a float, and it spends almost all its life below the surface. The name ARGO was chosen because the array of floats work in partnership with the Jason Earth Observing Satellites that measure the shape of the ocean surface. What can we expect in the way of major climate change impacts in the coming decades?
So hotter oceans will mean changing ecosystems. That includes coral reef bleaching, reduced fisheries, probably more harmful algal blooms, increased sea level rise. You know, the seas have been rising over the last century or so. They will continue to rise and probably accelerate if we don't cut down the amount of CO2 that we put into the atmosphere. More coastal flooding. And warmer oceans also provide more fuel for damaging winds and rains from hurricanes. That means stronger atmospheric rivers, more flooding associated with them, etc. So those are some of the impacts.
Are rising ocean temperatures, is that going to be inevitable? Or if we work on how much CO2 we're putting out, can we stop this or at least minimize it?
The answer is yes. It's actually yes both ways, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So yes, the ocean, it is not inevitable. If we were to stop, you know, if we were able to freeze the concentration of CO2 at 418 parts per million now, we would slow the rate of ocean warming, and we would probably, at least the rate of sea level rise would not increase. So that's the good news. The bad news is that the oceans have a huge amount of thermal inertia. What I mean by that is that they have about 280 times the mass of the atmosphere. They have about four times the heat capacity. So for every kilogram of ocean, that can absorb four times more heat and cause a same temperature change as a kilogram of the in the atmosphere. All right. So that means they have 1,000 times the heat capacity of the atmosphere. 1 degree of warming in the ocean is equal to 1,000 degrees of warming in the atmosphere. The other thing about the oceans is they're vast, and there are parts of the ocean where the water has not seen the surface for 1,500 years. And so what that means is, you know, we've brought the concentration of atmospheric CO2 and the atmospheric temperature, you know, up 418 parts per million. The atmosphere is much warmer now than it was. And so it's going to take the ocean 1,000 years to cycle all that deep water back up to the surface and have it adjust to the changing atmospheric conditions. And so that means that even if we were to freeze CO2 emissions and say, all right, we're going to only emit CO2 at a rate that sort of fixes at its present levels, oceans would continue to warm for the next couple decades, centuries, even the surface oceans, a few tenths of a degree Celsius, so maybe half a degree Fahrenheit or so. And that would mean that the atmosphere also warms that much. That's one thing. But the deep ocean would take millennia to equilibrate. You know, it would take basically 1,000 years for the ocean to adjust to those changing atmospheric conditions. And during that time, what that means is that as the oceans warm, they expand. So the deep ocean would be warming, the water would be expanding, and sea level would continue to rise. Those are things that are basically baked in, right? They're in the pipeline. So the ocean's kind of like a freight train. We've pushed it, right? And we've got it moving, and it's hard to slow it down and stop it.
Next, I spoke with Anna Marie Laura, the Director of Climate Policy for the Ocean Conservancy. She expanded on the effects that increasing ocean temperatures will have on marine environments, ecosystems, and animals.
Hello, this is Anna Marie.
Hi, Anna Marie. It's Catherine from The Log.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Is right now an okay time to talk?
Yeah, this is great.
Awesome. Right. It's like, how is it affecting marine ecosystems and animals and whatnot?
So when temperatures change, it's important to remember that these ocean creatures are living in like pretty stable temperatures most of the time. And when the temperatures change by a few degrees, to us that feels like maybe it's not such a big deal, but they're surrounded by this water constantly. And so if there's just a few degrees increase, that's constant, it can really affect the way that they function. And so we often see when sea surface and at depth temperatures increase, organisms move. They go to try to find the temperature of water that they're most comfortable in. Mm-hmm. And then when organisms at the bottom of the food chain move, then the other organisms that eat those critters move with them. So we see some creatures like lobster will move to find cooler temperatures. And then we see fishermen having to move to catch them. And that happens a lot. And then we also see impacts like decreasing populations of some of those organisms at the bottom of the food chain, plankton, for example. And that can mean that you have whole cascade effects where fish that would usually eat the plankton, their populations are affected, and all the way up to seabirds and marine mammals that can't find enough to eat, and their reproductive sequences and cycles are then affected, and their migration habits might be affected. They may not have enough energy to get where they want to go. So there's effects from the bottom of the food chain up, and they can affect organisms in a variety of ways.
So if we don't address this or you know, get on track, it's essentially going to make marine species go extinct, right?
Yeah. So, you know, when we talk about the temperature that we want to stay under, and this is for atmospheric warming, but how much warming the atmosphere goes through is obviously then connected to ocean warming. So if we see 1.5 degrees Celsius change in atmospheric warming, we're going to lose roughly 70% of coral reefs. When we go up to 2 degrees, if we can't stay under 2 degrees of atmospheric warming, we're at 99%, like over 90% loss in coral reefs. And there's a lot about the ocean that we still don't know, and there's new discoveries being made all the time. But that 0.5 degree shift could have a significant impact on coral reefs and coral reef ecosystems. And that's just one example of how what seems to us like a small difference from 1.5 to 2 degrees could have a really significant effect on ocean ecosystems and ocean species.
And this might be a broad question, but is every ocean heating up right now, or is it only getting warmer in specific areas?
It's definitely not a silly question. It is a global trend that we're seeing ocean temperatures increasing, but there are parts of the ocean that are increasing more than others. So we have obviously ocean currents and circulation, that the patterns are different everywhere. So we tend to see a really dramatic increase right now in bays or coastal areas that are shallower, where that the heat can be absorbed more quickly than in, for example, the deep sea. So we are seeing more of an increase in the surface temperature of the ocean, but certainly they're seeing a increase in the at greater depth. And that's, I think that's been particularly concerning of late, that increase at depth is now being seen.
Rising temperatures cause coral bleaching and the loss of breeding grounds for marine fishes and mammals. Rising ocean temperatures also affect the benefits humans derive from the ocean, threatening food security, increasing the prevalence of diseases, and causing more extreme weather events and the loss of coastal protection. Achieving the mitigation targets set by the Paris Agreement on climate change and limiting the global average temperatures increase to well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels is crucial to prevent the massive, irreversible impacts of ocean warming on marine ecosystems and their services. Establishing marine protected areas and putting in place adaptive measures, such as precautionary catch limits to prevent overfishing, can protect ocean ecosystems and shield humans from the effects of ocean warming. Lastly, I spoke with Dr. Peter Kariva, CEO and President of the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach. Dr. Kariva expanded on the study and provided an in-depth explanation of what the cause and effect of rising ocean temperatures means in the grand scheme of things.
What the study does is it examines the extremes, because even though 1.5 degrees does not seem like much, that's averaged over the whole volume of the ocean. What has really produced the impact is ocean heat waves, just like we have heat waves in the summer, you know, that we all experience. Now we're seeing the ocean having huge heat waves. And what distinguishes those heat waves is how intense they are, in other words, how hot they are, how frequently they occur, and then how long they last. And all of those trends have been going in the wrong direction, and in fact, in a direction that, you know, threatens that the ocean is at a tipping point where it could really suffer, and the life in it could suffer. And what the study does is to capture that point. It first defines what a heat wave is from historical data, you know, around 1900, so pre-industrial revolution and pre-massive greenhouse gas emissions and global warming. So it identifies what's a heat wave historically in the ocean in 1900, and they define the heat wave as the highest 2% temperature recorded for each different piece of ocean. Well, then they take that historical record, and then they look at what's happened recently, and the most recent data is from 2019. And in 2019, 57% of the ocean experienced a heat wave. So what used to be 2% is now 57%. And so the way, you know, as that scientific article refers to it, it points out that the new normal, and you call it normal because it happens, you know, it's more than half the ocean. The new normal is that the ocean has a fever. It's at the highest temperatures that have been recorded historically. The impact of that is enormous. When the ocean gets warmer, it does three things. One, it holds oxygen less. The warmer water cannot hold oxygen as well. As the water doesn't have oxygen, that puts a stress on animals. And then on top of that, because it gets warmer, the metabolic rate, the metabolism of fish and these cold-blooded animals goes up, and they have a greater demand for oxygen. So at the same time, the amount of oxygen is going down, the animals need more oxygen. So that really stresses them. And it's thought that maybe it's lost 1% to 2% of its total oxygen. Again, that might not seem like much, but it's just continuing, and that's going to wreak havoc.
Is it only the surface, the surface temperature that's altering, or are the depths getting warmer as well?
Oh, you know, that's a really good point. We have best measurements of what is called SST, sea surface temperature, and we measure that from satellites with microwave and infrared radiation, because that radiation tells you how much heat is coming off the surface. And that typically refers to, you know, the top meter or so of the ocean. But we learned that the deep, the deeper water is also heating up. And, you know, think about, you know, like filling a bathtub. You might have cold water at the bottom and hot water at the top. It takes a while for the heat to get down to that cold water that sits at the bottom of your bathtub. Well, we're now finding that that's happening in the ocean as well. And so the deeper ocean, we're now recording, you know, temperature rises in the deeper ocean that we hadn't seen before. The striking thing is that, and this is what I think always gets lost in the global warming, because you read news articles and they say things like, the world has, since 1900, has increased by 1 degree or 1.5 degrees. And that just does not feel like much. But these extreme events, that's what we see. We don't actually experience the average. None of us experiences the average temperature. We experience singular events. And so those average temperatures rises that we quote for the ocean and the air, I think can be a little bit misleading, because they can just seem so modest that what's the big deal? But, you know, think about this 2021, this hot water and this heat wave that literally just cooked the intertidal animals, Washington and British Columbia and Oregon, or, you know, the heat wave, the big blob in the Pacific that started in 2013, the huge economic damage. That's what we notice. And the other, I think, important thing to, much of this is happening in the Pacific. In fact, the warming of the ocean is not uniform, and even the occurrence of these extreme events is not uniform. But what we have seen is that the Pacific Ocean, temperate Pacific Ocean, Eastern Pacific Ocean, that's the region that is expected to really see some of the greatest increases in these extreme events.
The collection of information provided by all three experts explained the common research, discoveries, and knowledge between them all. Ultimately, solving the problem of rising ocean temperatures will require a long amount of time before the issue is fixed. There are changes we as humans can make to ease the impact on our oceans as of now, such as reducing emissions and pollution that we expel. In the end, we want to see instant results. That's not something that's going to happen with climate change. We need to just keep pursuing it and know that generations down the road will reap the benefits.
This has been the Log Newscast.
May you have fair winds and following seas. Until next time, this is Jordan.
And this is Catherine.
Signing off.